And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It's just turned 4 minutes past nine on this Friday, the 24th of November, 2023. And you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. And we have a very busy program, as always, for you today. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we'll have a conversation with the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly, who is in Donegal, to turn the sod on Letterkenny's new community hospital, also to meet with GPs and consultants. So we'll be talking about that a little in this hour as well. That's entertainment comes up after 11. Sean Quinn's back in studio again as well for an exciting launch from us here at Highland as we lead up to Christmas. That and so much more besides. But we begin, as we always do on a Friday, with our Friday panel, where we run through some of the big stories of the day and week. Can we say good morning first to Micheál Colum of Gallen Asperg? Thank you so much for joining us, Micheál Colum. How are you keeping? Good to have you with us. Michael White of the Green Party, the chair, in fact, of the Green Party here in Donegal. Michael, great to have you back on the show.
Imagine Mike, Greg, good to be back.
And last but not least, of course, Declan Meehan, community campaigner. Hi, Declan.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the show. Right, a five-year-old girl remains in a critical condition in hospital following an attack outside a school in Parnell Square in Dublin yesterday afternoon. Two other children and a carer for the children also sustained injuries in the stabbing incident. A six-year-old girl is being treated for head injuries and is due to undergo surgery, while a five-year-old boy who suffered minor physical injuries has been discharged from hospital. The children's carer remains in a serious condition in hospital, though we understand her condition has improved somewhat overnight. The suspect for the attack was wounded and remains under guard in hospital this morning. He's an Irish national who moved here over 20 years ago, though what can be said in relation to an alleged perpetrator in a crime like this is very little because of due process and all that type of stuff. People might not like it, but it is what it is. Declan, I'll start with you, that's okay. And we'll move on to what we saw in Dublin last night, but and maybe it's just an instinctive response to me, but I just feel like I woke up this morning or went to bed last night in a kind of like a different Ireland, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that what we saw yesterday from start to finish was just an absolute disgrace. The attack on small children outside an inner city school, very, very young people, young kids, was just chilling. And to see and to hear about that really was very disturbing. And obviously what followed thereafter, I guess, was, you know, disgraceful in a different way. And I think that when we are reading about everything that happened today, I think it's very important to reflect on the fact that the thugs and criminals and far-right people who lined the streets last night to wreak havoc on our capital city under a false pretense of patriotism do not reflect who we are as a country and do not reflect Dublin as it is as a city. And in fact, it's the people who rushed to the aid of the children to protect them that reflect who we are as a country and who Dublin is as a city. You had Dubliners of all nationalities, by the way, rushing to children's aid to apprehend the perpetrator of the crime and also just random people who were walking by on the street trying to circle children to protect them. They didn't know those children. The delivery biker from Brazil who apprehended the stabber didn't know those children. And it's that which reflects who we are as a society, not those people who took to the streets last night in a disgraceful and disgusting display of thuggery.
Well, we'll talk about... Someone feel the two events are separate, but obviously they are linked. Okay, I get that. Michael White, I'll come to you just in relation to the awful experience that those children, their carer and onlookers went through yesterday. It's just horrendous, isn't it?
It is. But just to reiterate what Declan was saying, that the fact that there's far-right rioters have tried to link their actions to what happened prior to that And it's kind of knocked on the head. But as you said, there was a Brazilian delivery driver that stepped in and arguably saved lives. And also the lady that was attending the Stardust Inquiry that crossed the street, like most of us would try to avoid trouble. She crossed the street, and I think with an American tourist, they helped to protect the attacker to make sure, you know, and she said the quote she had said is, "We're not savages in this country," when she was making sure the crowd didn't go for the attacker. So there were some admirable things that happened yesterday. The riots afterwards, it'll take a while to unpick a lot of this stuff. You were saying you feel like you woke up in a different country. This has been brewing for a while. And I think, you know, there were protests around East Wall earlier this year. Like, the same people seem to be in the background manipulating things. There's a few other points, and I think all of us are just thinking this through, but one of the other points is the kids that are rioting, you know, they're not university students living in Dundrum or Fox Rock. It's happening in a particular part of Dublin that's had really serious issues earlier this year. There's a bunch of things that part of Dublin needs to be focused on. Another issue is that there weren't sufficient Gardaí, and there aren't sufficient Gardaí in that part of Dublin. It took 5 minutes, I think, before the Gardaí arrived at the scene of the attack. There needs to be more Gardaí. If you go to cities like Lisbon, you feel safe walking around. Nobody feels safe walking around Marlborough Street or Talbot Street in that part of Dublin. So that's definitely, so there's a bunch of things happening here. The guys that are rioting, it's related to the area that they're from. As I say, so they're not doing it in nice areas like Foxtrot or Dundrum. It's similar in some ways. You know, we had it locally here, rioting in Derry, the time that Lyra McKee was killed. That wasn't kids in a nice part of Derry. That was kids from a fairly tough area. So that needs to be looked at. Just a bunch of issues. It's depressing, but it needs to be nailed on the head. Ireland hasn't changed, but we need to make sure it doesn't change. The guys that are stirring this crap up need to be caught and arrested. And it's closer to home than this as well.
Yeah, just pull you up we'll come back to that. But just pull you up there on the areas that this is coming from. Like, that deserves a little bit more explanation, because, you know, they're the areas perhaps most underserved by, you know, the government that your party is a member of. I mean, that's what you're not talking about just because someone's from a certain area that they act in a certain way, are you?
No, I'm not. But I'm saying that from parts of Dublin, like what you call areas of deep social economic deprivation, where I think there was more than 40 people died of heroin overdoses in Dublin in the last few weeks, which barely hit the headlines. These parts of the city have really issues, and it's not unconnected. So the most of the people partaking in those riots last night are coming from those areas, and there's a linkage there. I'm not using it as a justification, or not saying I understand it or approve it, but there is a connection of some sort. And if we want to make sure that this doesn't get worse, we need to address that.
Okay.
Simply arresting people and throwing them in the chokey isn't going to sort this out. But in addition to understanding this or trying to investigate it, we need more Gardaí. That would have made things a lot simpler last night, but there's a lot more Gardaí on the street.
All right, we'll come back to that. And I'll come to you, Micheál Colum. This is just an accident of timing. Adrian Weckler is a tech editor with the Irish and Sunday Independent. And I'm not sure if you've had any sleep, Adrian, because I know you were on Five Live last night and numerous other stations since, so I appreciate your time. You've lived in London for decades. You've lived in Dublin. For decades. You've never seen anything like this. How can you describe what you witnessed? Or how do you describe it, sorry?
Yeah, it was chaos. So I was spent most of the time, I spent several hours in and around the area around O'Connell Street, which, as everyone knows, is the main street in Dublin. And that's where, that was just adjacent to Parnell Square, where the stabbing incident happened. And I got on the scene at about 6 o'clock, and there was already quite a lot of tension there. There was a crowd that had gathered, and it was clear that there could be trouble. Then, you know, over the next half an hour to 45 minutes, the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger. More and more people were arriving. Most of them seemed to be young men between the ages of 17, 21, 22, that kind of age group. Many of them had scarves around their faces. And what happened next was it just all kicked off. Things started to be attacked. Looting started. Windows were smashed. I was standing in Parnell Street beside a couple of Garda cars, and a couple of the young lads started to attack the Garda cars. And one guy got a burning cardboard box, opened the back of the Garda car and threw the burning box in. So the whole car went up in flames. There were people in apartments right beside that burning car. They looked very, very concerned. Finally, the Gardaí came and they charged the street, and the mob was sent down Marlborough Street towards Carl Brewer Street. So what was happening was one street would be wrecked and then the guards turned up. They moved the mob to another street. They would kind of wreck that street as well. I saw the same thing from Parnell Street happened in Carl Brewer Street, then in Abbey Street, all the way down on the south side through the other end of Temple Bar to Parliament Street, which was semi-ablaze by the time I got down there an hour and a half later. So I've never seen anything like that in Dublin. Obviously, we're all aware.
Did you sort of get the impression from what were motivating these people that it was in response to what happened earlier, or that effectively the keg had been lit and it was an opportunity for antisocial behaviour? Because I think there's an interesting distinction there.
The majority of what I people involved in the attacks was more the latter scenario. It felt more opportunistic to be clear, there was some political chanting, particularly at the beginning when I got there, and there did seem to be elements there who were seeking to stir things up with some political chanting, mostly of a far right nature. But subsequent to that, a lot of the young fellas I saw, like looting shops, they were laughing as they were doing it. It just seemed like a free hit on the city. I mean, it just seemed like the purge. It was a weird atmosphere happening, and I did see people go down injured. It didn't feel that individuals were especially, I didn't really feel that I was going to be attacked at any moment either, even though I was a journalist there. So it was a very, very serious. There was violence. It was objectively scary. There were a lot of things on fire. There was a lot of damage done. But it sort of felt like it was just puggery, you know?
Okay, Adrian, listen, I won't hold you any longer. I know you've been very busy. Thank you for your time. We normally speak to Adrian on Tech Matters, but he was on scene for that yesterday. And Micheál Colum, I appreciate your patience. It was just when Adrian was available to us there. I want to bring you in now with your comments, if that's okay.
Yeah, good morning, my good Greg. I guess hello to Michael, I guess Declan, Jim Matashev. Look, first thing I'd say is I'm kind of a bit out of touch a wee bit yesterday because I kind of missed a lot of this. A cousin of mine opened up his grandfather's bar last night, my uncle, and I kind of ended up missing a lot of this until I really came home last night and kind of went through some of it and trying to catch up early this morning, as I was saying to Caroline earlier. Shocking scenes in Dublin. An individual scumbag, irrelevant of where he's from, attack on children and other human beings is just, it just saddens me, it angers me. We've seen this over many, many years where men play out their hatred and rage at their partners and their children. We you know, this is not something new to us in terms of the way the attack was done. Yes, it's certainly different compared to maybe a father maybe drowning themselves with children and, you know, shooting and all that there that we've seen through the years, the violence against women and children. It's absolutely shocking and desperate, and that's a conversation that really needs to be had more. I've listened a lot after that poor jogger down in the Midlands was attacked, and how I was coming back from Dublin actually at a meeting in relation to the issue of race and racist attacks, and I was listening and horrified in terms of that court case and how these two journalists was on, and they were talking about how everyday living for women and connecting that with children, and it's just desperate.
Okay, just on your point, because I know people will be texting in and do have to take a quick break and we'll come back to this, but, you know, people would say, yes, of course, there has always been violence in this country. There's always been knife crime. There's always been this stuff has happened. But last night's incident, this is what some might say, and the conversation is happening around the place. Yesterday's incident may not have happened, or the awful murder of Ashley Murphy may not have happened if we had tighter border controls. Now, whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not, that's the conversation, that's the point someone's going to put to you. Yes, there is a history of stuff. It happens all the time. But some of it could be avoidable, Micheál Colum, if we were a little bit more stringent on who we let into the country. That's the national conversation that's happening at the moment. What do you say to that?
I think, yes, that is the conversation that's happening right across the 26 counties right now. Of course, as that conversation is happening right across Europe, we've seen latest elections. We've seen
Holland,
borders being closed up in the eastern part or the northern part of the Europeans to Europe, to Russia. But we have to be realistic about this here. And we have to be realistic. It's only a number of years ago that an Irishman in Belgium set a woman on fire, dosed her in petrol. Does that mean that every single Irish person must be chased, born, or hammered out of Belgium? No, it doesn't reflect the reality that the vast majority of people who are here, and it does, and this is like a wet dream for the far right, what happened yesterday, unfortunately, because they've been waiting for the likes of this, but yet they refuse to march in terms of the child abuse that happens on a daily basis around our own communities. They refuse to march on houses that we know that women and children are being abused and battered. All you have to do is talk to the Women's Refuge in any part of our country, right across the whole 32. They refuse to talk about other issues that affect everyday living individuals and families. But what this is, like I says, is a wet dream for them in the sense that they've been waiting for the likes of this attack. If this was an Irish person who done such horrific, horrible, horrific act, we would not have seen these scenes yesterday.
Okay.
And what has to be borne in mind, this certainly has been led by the far right. What their narrative, but their far right are not talking about the very fact that Carlos, this Brazilian man, if you want to use the word foreigner, to our country, intervened yesterday. Yeah,
okay.
The far right will not talk about this.
I'll come back. I'll come back on the situation. It's just the time of the year. I have to take these breaks. Stay where you are. I'll be back with more on this subject in 2 to 3 minutes. We're in the company of Declan Meehan, Michael White, Micheál Colum, and Asperger. I want to go to you, Declan, because, do you know, in the first 20 minutes of this programme, far right, we've heard the phrase far right used an awful lot, right? But, right, that might be the what people might see as agitators or whatever. But there's conversations happening around breakfast tables and dinner tables last night in every house in Ireland. And many of them are saying, this country is changing. I'm fearful. There's something that we need to do. Do you know what I mean? To sort of suggest that this is just a far right element, I don't think. People need to wake up to the I hate that phrase, I've just used it, but anyway, that this is a broad conversation that's happening right across the country. Now, people aren't acting out like some are acting out, but people have a concern.
Look, I think that what we are experiencing and what we've seen, particularly over the past number of years, is a more emboldened far right, a cleverer far right. They're smarter, they're becoming better organised, they're being given more leeway in media, they're being given more leeway publicly, and I think that that kind of creates a false narrative that this is a conversation that happens perhaps more regularly than it actually does. I think that while we're discussing this now, and we're discussing what the root causes of those riots were last night, absolutely. Are people concerned about an increase in the number of, to quote, foreign nationals coming into the country? I think that that concern certainly exists, but I don't think it exists in such a pernicious way where people think that their safety is at stake. or anything like that. I think that a very, very small, very loud, very misguided minority are deliberately leveraging this for their own political aims.
I get you, Declan, but I'm on about organic conversations that are happening in homes. You know what I mean? That people aren't, if you're not on Twitter, right, you don't really get very much exposed to the far right in this country, I would argue, or certain Facebook groups. But you know, I don't think it's pervasive throughout the entire country.
I wouldn't agree with
that's fine. But what I'm saying is I think some of these concerns are being born of people's own experiences and interpretations, that they're not being manipulated. I genuinely think, though, that, and I'll come back to you, Micheál Colum, that there are people will be saying this morning, we need to be careful who we're letting into this country. We need to, you know, we need to keep control. That is growing. We've seen it. We're only 5 years perhaps behind Holland.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, absolutely. So we can't pretend it's not happening.
I think, though, that to say that, you know, the far right manipulation doesn't exist off social media is incorrect.
Okay, I accept that. No problem.
Because I think when the far right are agitating and they're conducting arson attacks locally in Donegal on particular facilities and accommodation facilities, that's manipulation by the far right because it makes the headlines. So whether you're sitting in a kitchen listening to Highland Radio or whether you're scrolling through your phone on Twitter, we are being manipulated by the far right, and we're being exposed to their rhetoric. We're being exposed to their aims. I think that when we're talking about the organic conversations that are happening, absolutely, they are happening. But the reality is this. The vast majority of crime perpetrated in Ireland, North and South, is perpetrated by people who are from Ireland. And that is the case today, and it was the case 20 years ago, and it'll be the case again in 20 years to come. So we have to be careful about how we discuss this at the same time.
100%. And you have to, the statistics back you up completely. If you look at the demographics of this country and the race of them, if you even wanted to dig down into that, it's a tiny, tiny percentage of the population that are non-white. Let me put it, as simple as that. And I will come to you, Michael, but Micheál Colum just wanted to come in there on a particular point, I presume. What did you want to say, Micheál Colum?
There's quite a few points I'd like to come into there, but it's hard to figure out where I'm going with this here. And I fully agree with what Declan's saying there. And it's interesting and it's scary and it's sad and upsetting what's happening at the moment. And as Declan was saying clearly there, in terms of attacks on asylum centres and the burning of places, you know, it's not that long ago that we seen the Sinn Féin TD down in Leitrim, his car being burnt out. To my understanding, there had been a number of other attacks on his home since. It's only a matter of weeks ago within my own community that two Palestinian men returning from a bar who were drinking two bottles of or cans of Red Bull just to get out of the direct division centre that they're in, was walking home and was set upon very violently and sent to hospital. The very same centre who has had, that I'm told, a number of death threats. And I suppose one of the things that really concerns me, and I'm not sure if it was that journalist you were talking about that says, never seen the likes of it before in Dublin. That's factually not true. I was in Dublin during the Love Ulster March, and I've seen what was happening during the Love Ulster March when pro-British militia decided to march on Dublin. Loyalists, as we call them, who came down to the capital to incite hatred. And we've seen then, but what we've seen then and what we've seen last night were two very different responses. And this is something that has to be talked about. And when I mean that in terms of responses, it was a response from the Garda. The Guards, during the Love Ulster March, because I was literally in the middle of it, his response was very different from the response that we seen last night.
Are you saying they were too heavy-handed last night just to get to the point or what?
No, what I'm saying is that there were two very different responses. The Love Dublin, or the Love Ulster, as they called it, Gra Ulu March that came down to Dublin was a very different response from the Guards. in terms of the arrests, in terms of their response to those that were involved in whatever
action. What is the point, with respect, what's the point you're making for those who don't know?
Right, my point being is that Lou Harris, which I believe should resign from his position for many reasons, and as you know, I've had a motion in the council in relation to this, but if you look at the approach that he has taken in relation to the far-right rise and his very clear pro-imperialist position on this and approach shows you clearly where he stands in relation to the rise of the far right has been very, very, very different. And Michael White was talking about East Wall earlier on. I've been involved in anti-fascist movement for a very, very long time. Last Saturday, I spent most of my day in Dublin having conversations with other progressive people in relation to the rise of racism and fascism within the state. And I specifically listened to one of the main people in Dublin that came from East Wall and how he talked about how the East Wall situation started to grow and how strangers from the area came in and started manipulating working class communities. And I'm not looking around with Michael White today, and I'd be more than happy to have that row another day. But I was very disappointed his language around working class communities in Dublin, and I think
talking about areas of social deprivation. I made that clear. It wasn't talking about if those communities being bad. Saying communities with areas of deprivation.
Like I said, I didn't come on top.
Well, then don't.
Today, but at the same time,
but it's entitled to. He's entitled to make a respite.
Point being is that the approach that the guards have been taking. If you look at, like I said,
so just to be clear, are you saying just to, you're comparing last night versus the Lough Ulster situation? Are you saying the Gardaí were too light touch last night, too heavy handed? Just for those who don't know the comparison you're making, what issue do you have with what the Garda role last night?
Well, the issue, like I said when I came on the radio this morning, is that I missed a lot of this because of opening up at the bar, so I have to catch up on a lot of it. But what I'm saying is this, that it's the overall approach that the guards, even within our own county, in terms of the far right. Look, the reality is, and I don't want to give them any coverage because I believe them to be scumbags, that are marching, or not marching, but as they say, community watching in certain parts of our community or in our county. That, by definition, it's very simple.
Okay.
It's fascist.
Right, okay.
Streets.
Understood.
And the guards' approach, because if this was Republicans doing what they're doing, the approach would be very, very different and extremely heavy-handed.
Michael Wright, I appreciate that, and your point well made, and I give you loads of time there, Micheál Colm, so don't think I'm cutting you off. Michael, though, right, again, the opposition to your guys' views, you're similar but different, right, in your views. It's not far right, though. That's what I'm trying to get at here. And it just so happened that this happened yesterday, and you are our panel, Michael, but there's a significant proportion of the population that have their concerns, as I said to Declan, that are worried, or they want answers, or they need stuff explained to them, or whatever it might be. They're not far right. They aren't far right. And every time we have these conversations, I know people are going, well, I have my concerns, but I'm not far right, Michael. Do you get where I'm coming from? So,
I think absolutely. There's a few things. People should be able to have a discussion without fear of being accused of being bigots or far right. However, the conversation can be steered in different directions where non-issues suddenly become trumpeted as if there's a reality. So I think Declan made the point, if you're a victim of crime, it's going to be an Irish guy that's been doing the crime. It's not going to be an immigrant, statistically. It wasn't Brazilians looting Arnott's last night. It was local Dubliners. So I think that you're right, that people can have conversations, as long as those conversations are well-informed. But you also mentioned the fact that we're only 5 years behind Holland. I disagree. That guy Geert Wilders that's in Holland, there isn't an equivalent to that extreme right-wing party in Ireland yet. Now, in the last election, I think extreme right-wing people got less than 1% of the vote across the country. Hopefully it stays that way.
But well, I'd be careful. Like, the reason I say things like that, Conor McGregor, who would be a hero to perhaps many of the people that were out in the street last night, he says, you reap what you sow. Ireland, we are at war. Innocent children ruthlessly stabbed by a mental... Well, I can't read that because it could compromise a trial. And on it goes, calling out all the parties, the president saying, enough is enough. We need to do this, that and then. A figurehead like that, if they step forward, I think they'd make a lot of progress in the 4 to 5 years. But anyway, we don't want to split hairs on that, but I just think we're closer than perhaps maybe...
Well, there's a real issue with Conor McGregor. I won't say what I think about him, but there's also some issues with our political leadership. So during the week, we had...
I'll say it if you want, Michael.
Yeah, but just I'm going to make a very brief point, Michal, Colin, just about how Thomas Pringle rightly called out Danny Healy Ray. And there's an example of somebody in politics in the Parliament saying... And the Doyle saying something, Danny Healy Ray come out with an anti-immigrant crap. At the same time, his family make money from renting accommodation to refugees. So it's important, your point, Greg, about people around the dinner table, this discussion has to happen and has to be influenced by well-minded people who want to establish a consensus that we all, Ireland so far has always had a consensus in this. We do discuss stuff and we stay in the middle. So we don't want to get pulled to the extremes. And so the conversation is important, but it also needs to be influenced by politicians, other people of influence. We don't even need Conor McGregor's or his crap.
Okay. Well, others.
And the other thing too is on the point of politicians, etc. Like the Minister for Justice needs to revisit. She walked down Talbot Street, a street like a couple of blocks away from where this happened yesterday, during the summer, saying Dublin's safe. Like it self-evidently isn't safe, and that needs to be addressed. Going back to the point about areas of social deprivation and some underlying issues there that contributed. We don't want to go on too much, but I thought Adrian Wechter and your points about whether this is driven by far right or was it opportunistic last night? You know, it may have been kicked off by the far right, but it was opportunistic. That was kids rigging harness to rob.
Okay, so. you don't block off hospitals, set the Lewis on fire, set buses on fire and set Gardaí on fire and set fire to your own city because you're afraid of what immigrants might do to your city. I mean, that you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's very easy to work that out. That you know.
No, I think that ties back to the kids who are doing that are from a background where they don't think they've got anything to lose. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be sorted out.
30 seconds, Micheál Colin, before a break.
I'd like to come in on that there. And Michael White, Micheál De Vriche, I think you're making a point there, surely. But we cannot and we must not, and we have been for many years, been we're undermining actually the rise of the far right in Ireland. The reality is that the far right are rising in Ireland, they're organising. Most of them are coming from a very, very dangerous and criminal background. If we look at some of the parts of East Wall, Ballymun, and these are some of the areas that I know I spent many, many years working in Ballymun. I was a youth worker on the streets in Ballymun, and I would know them areas, not as much now, as obviously, clearly, as I would have done back in the day. So we must not underestimate the rise of the far right. We must not think that the fact is that what happened last night was an issue of social deprivation.
Yeah. I get you, but I'm going to have to just, because I do have to take a break, but again, you see, what this conversation with the continuous words of the far right, and there are far right agitators and what have you, agitators, it means people that have genuine concerns, that don't have any racism at all, feel that they can't express themselves in any way, shape or form because they will be labelled far right. And we need
absolutely.
To... I think we're never going to get anywhere unless we get past that and we can actually have conversations.
And I think, Michael, in fairness to Michael White earlier, he said that in terms of labelling, and I think we need to be very careful in terms of the use of language. I know a lot of people who have concerns about foreigners coming into our country. No doubt the same way as people in other countries have huge concerns about the vast immigration from Ireland to their country. And we can't and we shouldn't label every single person as racist and far right who have these concerns. I fully agree with that. But we must talk about the reality, about the fact is that there are agitators. For example, if you take the likes of Herman Kelly from the Irish Freedom Party, who has been concentrating heavily on Donegal this last month or so. A man who is extremely close to Nigel Farage, who has been strongly suggested extremely close to loyalism.
He's not here to respond. I understand that.
My language, and who has been targeting areas, right? As people in Derry would call him a draft dodger, and somebody who has been targeting our communities solely to peddle a far right agenda to drive a wedge. Now, there has been suggestions that he worked for British
Hold on a second. One second here. No. Colin, I just can't go down that road at the moment with
Why
you.
Not? If we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it.
Declan, did you want to come back in there a sec?
Just what I wanted to say was we're talking about, you know, far-right manipulation versus opportunism. And a lot of people who were involved last night opportunistically taking the opportunity to raid Foot Locker or any other shops to loot. But opportunism is the currency of the far right, and that has been historically always the case. They're trying to tap into disaffected population for whatever reason, and they're trying to leverage their actions to bolster their own numbers, to bolster their own causes. And I think that's really important to bear in mind. The two are not separate.
And the left aren't innocent of that either, too. It's just, you know, that happens there as well. I take your points. OK, you're welcome back to the programme. It's the Friday panel. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly's in Letterkenny together today for a number of engagements and meetings. This morning he'll turn the sod at the site of the new Letterkenny Community Hospital on Kilmacrennan Road. Later he'll have a series of meetings at Letterkenny University Hospital, as well as meeting hospital management and senior Sialta personnel. Minister Donnelly will also meet with GPs and consultants. Last month, both groups wrote to Minister Donnelly, and the consultants have issued a subsequent letter, almost 300 of them, outlining their grave concerns for the safety and well-being of their patients, particularly in the emergency department. I think that's going to be a testy meeting, but I think Minister Donnelly is going to take the consultants on in terms of, you know, what are they doing maybe to sort of alleviate the situation there. I'll come to you first, if that's all right, Declan Meehan. I've already had an opportunity to speak to Stephen Donnelly. I had to pre-record it a little earlier on today. And he says hospital budgets increased. There's more staff, 49 additional beds. Gynecology has been expanded. There's a new stroke unit, new maternity theatre, new endoscopy theatre, new MRI scanner delivered in October 2023. So that's what, you know, that's the approach he's coming up here with.
Yeah, that's the approach that he's coming up with, and it's the approach you would certainly expect. I'm just conscious that it's 9:45, so the GPs are currently 45 minutes into their meeting with the minister. My husband being one of those. Just obviously, I think fair play to the doctors for flagging these concerns, for organising and, you know, speaking out on patients' behalfs. The reality of the situation is this. We've heard Charlie McConnell say the same, and now obviously we have the minister in person talking about the increase in funding that Letterkenny University Hospital has enjoyed over the past number of years. But the reality is the same. Patient outcomes are not improving. Degradation of service delivery in Letterkenny with the removal of key services to Galway, which is a 500-kilometre round trip. The reality is that patients in Donegal have poorer health outcomes than elsewhere in the country because of their proximity and distance from a grade four hospital. So there is a systematic degradation of Letterkenny University Hospital under Sialta management. And that is both under the watch of Sialta, but also of this minister and these past ministers for health that have come from this government and various iterations of government of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens. That is reality. We haven't had any other, trend in terms of Letterkenny University Hospital other than a downward trend. And that is very concerning for the citizens of Donegal and for patients in the county. So the minister can trumpet, as has Charlie McConnell, another Fianna Fáil spokespeople, the increase in funding. But the reality is that's not working. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that the funding levels in Letterkenny University Hospital are still far below where they should be.
Those are some of the points that I put to the minister. But Michael White, I kind of felt like the bad guy. That's kind of, partly my fault for highlighting these issues, not striking a balance, scaring people, not recognising that the hospital, to a great extent, is great. Now, I've very little. I've a very small role to play in any of this, other than platforming the views of GPs, consultants, and the wider public. I don't think I'm the big bad wolf. But what say you? Because the impression I got is that Stephen Donnelly's not coming with a bag full of money here. He's effectively saying the hospital is doing really quite well here. I don't think there's going to be any silver bullet in the conversations today. Let me put it like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not in the group. We're not in the Ministry for Health. What I would say is this: the GPs are right. That they are. The facts are correct. Waiting times and treatment have degraded. Now the question is, how do you fix that? Stephen Donnelly has said that there's been sufficient investment, so it's not a money problem. And I don't know enough to know what the GPs actually said is that the proposed scale and ambition of plans laid out by hospital management weren't good enough. So that appears to be a criticism of SAILTA and the hospital management. I'm not an expert in this. The only thing I would say is that earlier this year, it's been highlighted a few times that Waterford Hospital doesn't have the issues that a number of other hospitals do. And I don't understand why Letterkenny can't replicate some of the management and operational processes used in Waterford. Would that help fix things? Or is it purely an investment? And I don't know enough. Is it purely lack of money? Or is it the way it's being run? And if it's the way it's being run, whose fault is that?
Yeah, and Declan referenced having to go to Galway for certain treatments and services. And I think that the minister, and I don't want to do him a disservice, seem to be taken aback that you can't really get to Galway. You know what I mean? You have to get a taxi. You can't really get up and down from Galway on public transport here at the right times. Anyway. Michael Collum.
I want to say that any experience that I and my family have had with Letterkenny have been brilliant. It's been really good.
No, of course, yes.
Not any way to dismiss. There's a serious problem. The GPs are really concerned and it needs to be addressed.
It's every time we talk about it, we try and clarify that is the case, but that does not mean we cannot ignore when someone could have a lesion that's cancerous, a skin cancer lesion, and there's no dermatologist to see them here, and they have to go to Sligo, and he's down there saying, I can't look after the list that's here at the moment, and I don't even have a light that I can have a decent look at what's going on in someone's skin to make a diagnosis. So we can't ignore that, but that doesn't mean we don't recognise the fantastic work at the hospital either, and the brilliant staff who are probably at this point sick and tired of listening to it being discussed. But what can we do, Councillor Micheál Collum? Last word to you, because I'm going to have to jog, sorry.
No, you're grand. First thing I'd like to apologise for not remembering Ashley Murphy's name earlier on. Somebody texted me, given out to me there, and they were right to do that. Look, from paramedics to cleaners to secretaries to nurses to doctors right across Letchkanal Hospital, I tip my hat to them and their everyday work, right down to the people that they work in all aspects of our healthcare. But the big thing that we need to really, really talk about is community care. You talked earlier on there, Greg, about pre-recording with the minister. Unfortunately, the minister just wouldn't have, I won't say it, to come on.
It was scheduled. It's completely unedited, okay? I will concede there's a scheduling issue here, to be fair to the minister.
In fairness, Greg, the minister wouldn't come on and have this discussion with myself and Declan and Michael DeVicia. So, they do avoid this.
That's
given to the ministers. But the point being is, you talked earlier there about gynaecology. We fought very hard at Ahoahania to get gynaecology returned when they took that away. And Highland Radio was absolutely second to none in terms of our campaign at the time. To get that reintroduced into Clonlea, which we never got, but we did get another element. So we won, and we won half the campaign and lost the other half. But the point being is that we need to look at it from a broader perspective.
Understood.
In terms of not just focusing on Letterkenny, Liscannon itself, which is important to discuss. Of course it is, and it needs to be challenged when it needs to be challenged. But we need to talk about what services are being put or not be put into community.
And do you know what we're going to do, Micheál Colum? We'll come back and have a specific conversation about that, because I think that's incredibly, incredibly important. But unfortunately, time has caught up.
One point is that we also need to recognise, and I would say this specifically to Michael in terms of his party, because they are in government, they do sit at the top, right, is that this move is to downgrade hospitals and our healthcare right across the whole Free State is very deliberate, okay. Because that's deliberate because of the ideology of privatisation and that move to privatisation. And that
that's discussed. That's discussed. 3.25 million was sent to private hospitals from Letterkenny University Hospital last year alone. Declan Meehan, I want to mention, briefly, if you don't mind, but importantly, the event on Monday night.
Yeah, so...
Can I just say, by the way, I wanted to do this interview with, do you know, like a yard brush sitting on the top of your lip here? You know, with it being Movember, but we're going to have to do without it. But anyway, go on.
So on Monday evening...
Ned Flanders, I'm thinking.
I think it would suit me, yeah. Milford District Resource Centre, we're hosting a Movember check-in. So it's a men's health event, which is taking place on our new premises, the Galglass Community Centre on the Kilmacrenan Road in Milford. We'll have a number of speakers around mental health, physical health, sexual health, everything. Definitely try and make it. It's a very, very worthwhile event. It's free. It's very important. We're also organising a women's health event in the new year. But absolutely come along on Monday at 7 o'clock.
All right, brilliant stuff, Declan. Sure there'll be a huge turnout. I hope there will be, because it's really, really important across the whole range of mental and physical health. Thanks so much, Declan. Lovely to see you as always. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Michael White, thank you so very much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you.
And last but not least, Micheál Colum, have a lovely weekend. Take care.
Good to meet you, Michael.
Slán. In the next hour, we'll catch up on some of your comments. Incredibly busy on the programme this morning. And we'll also have that sit-down interview with the Health Minister, Stephen Donnelly. But we're going to take a break now for the news and obituary notices. Please stay right where you are.